Well, good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing today? I don't know if you've noticed that there's something different about the church this morning, a little change. We hung a new cross. So about 5 months ago, Pete Daniels, who's a friend of our church, he works down at Moose Heart, lives at Moose Heart, is here almost every Tuesday for prayer. Pops in every Sunday now and then. He called me and he said, hey, this church we used to go to is closing. They're actually merging with another church and they want to strip the whole church down to create a new church. And they have this cross. Would you be interested in it? And I was like, yeah, we got a cross. He goes, I'll send you a picture. You got to see it. And so he sent me this really fuzzy picture of the cross and it was like, wow, that's impressive. And I go, yeah, we might be interested in that. I guess the original congregation that had it was almost in mourning because the cross was handmade by one of their earlier pastors who was from the UK. He spent the time and made the whole thing, and they were afraid that it was just going to end up in the dumpster. So he went to them and said, hey, I know this little church out in DeKalb. They might be interested in it, and they were more than happy to send it to us. And so we got it about 4 or 5 months ago, and it's been sitting in that back room against the wall until we could figure out how to hang it. And yesterday morning, Jeff Kay and a bunch of us got here at the crack of dawn, and we hung the cross. And I didn't know what it was going to look like, but I remember I stepped back into the aisle and looked at it, and it about took my breath away in comparison to what was there before. So I just wanted to, I know Pete's not here, I just wanted to acknowledge him and him putting this all together. And if you run into him, if he's here one Sunday or you come on Tuesday night, just make sure you say thank you for it. Because I'm amazed. It's like it was made for this building. The wood just matches everything, and it's amazing. So, yeah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just invite you here this morning. We invite your presence to be here with us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Lord, speak to us from your word this morning. Lord, allow your word to come and transform us and change us and minister to us, Lord. We welcome you. We just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday for the Christian church. It begins a season of Lent, 40 days minus the Sundays before Easter, before Lent, where historically the church takes time and really contemplates the cross and Easter and what's happening. Traditionally, this is a time of preparation for the church as it does this journey towards Easter. And we usually give things up during Lent, right? Most people sacrifice something for Lent, even if you're not a part of the high church, so to speak, to prepare for Good Friday and for Easter. And this year, I felt like Jesus was calling us on a journey together to transform us as a church. Last week, I called us as a church to a season of prayer and fasting. And I'm curious, because I kind of just put it out there, and I invited you to fast something, to just sacrifice something for this 40-day period, be it food, be it social media, be it what have you. And so I'm curious, who's joining us right now? Okay, amen, amen. I also challenge you to tell someone. Did you tell someone that you were doing, like, tell just mention it, that I'm doing this as a piece of... Good, good, good. We're doing it because in many ways it feels like we're stuck a bit. And I talked about the last time we called the church to a fast, which was about 5 years ago. And we felt like we were stuck, and we pressed in, and we prayed, and we fasted, and the Lord gave us a tremendous breakthrough. He gave us a building, for good Lord. We didn't even know we were praying for a building when we started the fast. And when we ended the fast, the Lord opened up the doors to move us from where we were to here. And because we feel like we're stuck, there's something interesting about getting stuck. When we get stuck, sometimes we get comfortable in that being stuck. Sometimes that complacency brings us a sense of comfort. You know what you know. And if we get unstuck, we're not exactly sure what's on the other side of that. I mean, have you ever met someone who was stuck in a really bad situation and just wasn't sure they wanted to move out? I mean, I had a bad job once. Oh, I had a bad job many of the time. But my first job that I had, I graduated from college. I had a degree in finance. I wanted to go into markets. I wanted to actually be a trader on the floor of the Board of Trade. But right before I graduated, the stock markets crashed. And so the people who had been doing that for 20, 30 years, they were all out of jobs. And so the guy coming out of college wasn't going to find a job. And it was a bad time in the economy, and so I looked and looked, and we were newly married, and I just couldn't find a job. And then finally, I got a call from someone saying, hey, I know somebody. It's not a good job, but it's a job. And I said, oh, I'll take it. And so I started working as a corporate bill collector, collecting doctors, leases on medical equipment. I mean, this is like next to impossible. It's a nasty job. For years, I was cursed out so many times. People questioned my ancestry. Somebody actually threatened to come with a gun and take me out. Just little old me. And I hated it. I hated it. But it was a job. And I got benefits from the job. And I was newly married. And I just didn't get around to looking. And I was underpaid. And I wasn't getting raises. And I was miserable. And Cindy knew I was miserable. And in the Lord's grace, I got laid off because they shut our office down. And that motivated me to move. Many of us, we get stuck. And we're like, well, at least we know what we're stuck in. We don't like it. But the Lord is challenging us. He's challenging us not to be comfortable, not to be complacent, but to shake things up, to move forward, to trust Him in what He's doing and what He wants to do. But before we do that, before we can get to a place where we see change all around us, where we see the world change, we need to be changed ourselves. And one of the best ways to start that transformation, that change in ourselves, is through prayer. Now, there's a desire that most of us have. We want to experience more of God's power in our life. We want to experience more of our blessings in our life, right? It may seem a bit selfish, but we realize that if there's more blessing in our life, then that probably means that there's less issues in our life. And if we have a choice, we'd all prefer a lot less issues. But for many of us, we don't experience that. That's not a reality for us. The Apostle James says something really interesting about that to us in his letter, James chapter 4, starting in verse 1. If you have a Bible, we'll be jumping around today, otherwise it should be on the screen. James writes this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." This is a really interesting picture of what our society looks like today. We argue, we fight for what I want, or what we want. But what we don't tend to do is ask. We tend not to go to God and ask God. We tend not to pray. And when we do pray, we miss God's heart. I mean, some of us pray. Many of us throw a prayer out there every now and then. You know, driving down the road, all of a sudden the lights go on behind you, and what's the first thing you do? Oh, Lord, help. Right? Lord, let there be a miracle. Let the cop let me drive away. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. My father-in-law has this wonderful prayer he does. He calls it praying to St. Peter of the parking lot. And when he pulls into a parking lot, he goes, you know, Lord, give me a parking space. And when he shows up, excited because his prayer worked, and when that good parking space doesn't show up, then I guess it didn't work. And that's how some of us look at prayer, right? We throw one out there, we kind of hope for the best, and sometimes it shows up, sometimes it doesn't. But James is pointing a picture to us that sometimes when we pray like that, we miss God's heart for what He wants. See, the key to growing, to walking in God's power and God's blessing is praying, is aligning with what the heart of God is. There's a pastor out of Oregon by the name of D. Dukes. He has this wonderful quote. It's much prayer, much blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. And what he has discovered is the more prayer you have in your life, the more blessing seems to be pouring into your life. And if there's less prayer in your life, you have little blessing. And then he says, if there's no prayer in your life, you tend to have no blessing. It's kind of based on what Paul writes about sowing and reaping. We reap what we sow. If we sow prayer, we tend to reap God in our life, blessings in our life. So here's the question I have for you. Where are you on that blessing scale? Are you receiving a ton of blessing in your life? Are you receiving a little blessing in your life? Are you like, when was the last time God poured any blessing in my life? Well, maybe the amount of prayer ties into that a bit. Now, we all resolve to pray more at some time in our life, right? That's one of the most popular New Year's Eve resolutions that I can remember. I'm going to pray more right now. And when we come into Lent, as we did this last Sunday, as I invited you to, you know, pray over this next 40 days from Ash Wednesday forward, we all want to do it. And I'd be willing to bet that on Wednesday, a lot of you really jumped into it. But it's Sunday now. It's been 4 days. What'd you discover? Well, prayer's hard, isn't it? It's like really hard. Jesus had a prayer meeting on Holy Thursday. He met with his disciples. They had dinner. And then he said, come, let's go to the garden and let's pray. And so Jesus went off to pray and he told his disciples, pray. Just tonight, just take some time and pray. Stuff's going down. Pray. And they fell asleep. What did Jesus say? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Most of us are like that. Prayer is a lot like exercise, right? Or eating right. We know we should do it, but it's hard, and so we don't. But there's also another reason why some of us don't pray. It's because sometimes it feels like God doesn't answer our prayers. We look at that verse in James. We don't get what we're asking God to do. And so we feel like, okay, what am I doing wrong? And we start to research it. So then we go and buy books on prayer. How can I pray different? Is there like a special secret key prayer that I should pray? You know, 30 years ago, there was a book that came out all about that. If you said these 5 words, God will answer all your prayers. I might use more than 5 words. We listen to sermons. We watch podcasts. We'll do most anything to find out why our prayers aren't getting answered. So let me throw this thought at you instead. Instead of trying to find out how to get God to answer our prayers, why don't we figure out what prayers God actually likes to answer and pray those? That may be a really good thing to start this Lent. What does God like to answer? What historically does He like to answer? as we look through Scripture, we're going to find there are seven prayers that God really, really likes to answer. And He almost always answers. Now, the first one is interesting, and we'll find it in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. In chapter 3, Paul begins to tell the Thessalonians how encouraged he is about their faith. Paul's sitting in jail, and he's hearing about their faith. And he tells them that he's praying continually so that he will have an opportunity to see them again. And then in the middle of the letter, middle of this chapter, he starts to pray for them. And he starts with this out of 1 Thessalonians 3:12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. This is God's command to us. Love one another. But that's difficult at times, to love one another. I mean, the problem is that we're all human. We all have quirks. We all have personalities that differ from one another. God has made each one of us very unique. And that uniqueness, although at one point a tremendous blessing, at the same time can be an irritant. I mean, have you ever met like a really unique person? Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to love those people. But the thing is, love comes from God, and He's more than willing to give us that love, to change our hearts for someone. When I do marriage counseling, and most married couples who are going through trouble do not like my marriage counseling, but the first thing I ask is, are you praying for one another? Period. I don't care what trouble you're having, what issue, who's wrong, who's at fault, are you praying for one another? Because if you're not praying for one another, there's not a whole lot that I can do to fix your marriage. We start with that. Pray for one another. See, when we begin to pray for one another, the Lord begins to not necessarily change that person, but He begins to change our hearts. He begins to soften our hearts for that person. The Lord begins to do things within us that allows love to come out of us. Remember what Jesus said, they will know you are Christians by your love. Your love. So the first prayer that God loves to answer is for Him to increase the love that we have for one another. Lord, increase the love I have for those around me. The Lord will answer that. Guaranteed. Now, the second prayer that God loves to answer, we find in the Gospel of John. Jesus is at the Last Supper. He's praying for His disciples, the great and holy priestly prayer. And then in the midst of that prayer, He does something absolutely amazing. He pivots from the disciples that are in the room to the disciples that are yet to come. He starts praying for you and me today. And in that prayer, in John 17, starting in verse 20, Jesus says this, my prayer is not for them alone, the disciples in the room. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is such a theologically dense picture. But stripping it down to its simplicity is Jesus is praying that we have unity in the body. See, if we actually loved one another, we would be in unity with one another. Now, unity doesn't mean that we all look the same or act the same or think the same. But it does mean that we don't bicker with one another. It means that we support one another, that we encourage one another. That even though some of us are different than others, we are encouraging them because we know that God is working in their lives. The love that we have for them pours out and it shows up in unity. The problem is the world doesn't see our unity, it sees our disunity. It sees how we argue, how we fight, how we stab each other in the back. And they look at us and they say, well, what makes them any different? What's so important about Jesus? They're just like everybody else. Jesus' heart is to see us as one, just as He is with one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is actually inviting us into that relationship in this prayer, but we can only join Him in that relationship is if we're with unity with one another. What does unity always look like? It differs. But when we ask the Lord to bring unity, the Holy Spirit comes. And He makes us as one. As one. It's not unity that we force people to. It's unity that the Lord creates. And God loves to answer that prayer. Now, it's interesting that the first two prayers are about our relationships with one another. That if we love one another, that if we're unity with one another. But if the truth be told, most of our prayers don't look like that. Most of our prayers are the help me God, help me Jesus prayer, right? Change the situation I'm in. But in Philippians, Paul seems to have a different attitude about those situations. A different attitude when we come to times of trial or trouble or turmoil. And that leads us to the next prayer that God will always answer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes this. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at your last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living or plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. When we're in the midst of trial and turmoil, we tend to pray for it to end. But Paul here says, I've been through all of this. And what I don't need necessarily is for it to end. I just need the strength to manage it. So God gave Paul the strength to endure. Remember that part where he talks about the thorn in the flesh? The Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh. And three times I asked Him to take it away. And what did God say to him? My strength, my grace is sufficient for thee. If we ask the Lord to give us strength to endure, He will. He will. But when I'm dealing with those problems, although God may have given me the strength to endure, something else tends to creep in the midst of it, doesn't it? And that's anxiety, fear. I don't know about you, but fear and anxiety, they can paralyze me. They can stop me dead in my tracks. When anxiety comes in, I want to do nothing more than lie in bed and pull the blankets over my head. Maybe it'll all go away. Never does, but maybe it will this time, right? That leads us to the next prayer that God will always answer. Notice what Paul says a little earlier in chapter 4 in Philippians, starting in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, that's easy for him to say. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God doesn't always take the troubles away, but God is willing to give us peace in the midst of those trials and troubles. See, it's that peace and that strength God gives us so that we can overcome. So that we can overcome anxiety and fear. You see, trials and suffering, they build our faith and character. Sometimes we need to go through that to grow up, to go on to what God has for us. And I know, we don't like to hear that. We don't want that. We really don't want that. But it's the way things tend to work. I mean, consider exercise, right? Do you know what happens when you exercise? When you take weights, no matter what, and you're doing your exercises or running and all that fun stuff, you know what happens to your body? The fibers in your muscles get damaged. And so when your body comes to repair those fibers, they realize that what you just did damaged them, so they need to make them a little bit stronger. So when you're doing exercise, you're actually putting stress and trial on your body, and that makes your body stronger. Well, the same is true for our lives. I'm not saying like press into trial and troubles. But those trials and troubles, they bring maturity. They raise our, they create our character. If we're leaning on the Lord for the strength and the peace to endure them. See, but we don't have to go through those trials alone. Jesus is with us. Now, when it's all said and done, the reality is what we're all looking for, what everybody wants, is joy. We want joy. We search high and low. The reason you buy stuff is joy, right? You buy things because you're hoping that that thing, that new outfit, that big screen TV, that new car, somehow will bring you joy. We search high and low. We buy things. We go places. We look for people. But joy doesn't come from our circumstances. Joy comes from the Lord. And that's the next prayer. Psalm 4, verse 6. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. The fifth prayer that God will answer is a prayer for joy. Lord, help me find joy in you. Let the joy of the Lord come upon me. Help me find true joy. And when we ask for that, He is more than willing to give it to us. Now, we've talked about loving one another, being in unity with one another. We've talked about asking for strength, peace, and joy in the midst of trial. But while trials can be good for developing characters, many of the trials we go through are really self-inflicted. We make very poor decisions at times. If only there was some way to see that coming down the road. If only we had a bit of wisdom to avoid some of those decisions we've made. Well, that's the sixth prayer that God loves to answer. And we're back in the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 5. James says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. The context that James is writing about is that there are always trials amongst us. We live in a fallen world, but God is willing to give us the wisdom to try to avoid it and give it generously. He gives us insight at times to see things coming down the road so that we can make the right decision and trust Him. This is the prayer I pray every single day. Lord, give me the wisdom to lead Your church. Give me the wisdom to get through what's happening. And it should be one of the top prayers of all of our lives. Give me the wisdom to see and to do and to discern. Now, most of these things have been somewhat personal. Pray for love, for unity, for strength, for peace, for joy, for wisdom in your life. The final prayer is actually about me. If you don't like the way I preach or lead, you can complain, you can gossip, you can leave, and many have done that. Or you can do this instead. Ephesians 6, verse 19. Paul says this, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." This is Paul the Apostle, right? This is Paul who wrote a chunk of the New Testament. This is Paul who we base a ton of our theology around. This is the guy who's doing miracles, who is so wise that we are immensely impressed by what he says. And for some reason, he thinks it's important that the churches pray for him that he can preach the gospel. That he can be effective. He's already effective. But he thinks it's important. And repeatedly, throughout all of his letters, he asks the churches to pray for him, to pray for the gospel to be presented through his preaching, to pray for his circumstances to change so that he can do more for the Lord. And the thing is, the same is true today. Pray for the church. Pray for the leaders of the church. Pray for me. It's through your prayers that my preaching gets better. You should have heard some of the early sermons 21 years ago, okay? They were painful. Pray that this church grows. Pray that it can successfully minister to our community. Pray that we can preach the gospel and spread the kingdom. Pray that we can accomplish the mission that God has given us. Our call is, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Pray that God advances his kingdom through me, through this place, through our leaders, through us. He'll answer those prayers. Now, these seven may seem simple. They may not be exactly what you were looking for. There's no prayers here for worldly success, for health, for power. No prayers like Janis Joplin's asking for Mercedes-Benzes. None of that, okay? God occasionally answers those prayers. I'm amazed. But the prayers he loves to answer are these. For the ability for us to love one another. For unity to come. For strength to endure. For peace. For wisdom. And for his gospel to be preached. If we begin with those prayers, we'll begin to see fruit in our lives. We'll begin to see the change that we desire. Amen? Amen. So we're going to do something a bit different over Lent. Traditionally during ministry time, you know, we normally bring a couple people up here and we wait on the Lord. And sometimes we have some prophetic words. Sometimes we have some direction. We'll do that occasionally. But today I want to do something a little different as we begin this journey. Ben is going to pass out to you each a journal and a pen if you don't have one. These are yours to keep and to use as prayer journals all throughout Lent. Okay? They're yours. So write your name on them. Decorate them. Put stickers on them. Do whatever it is that will make you feel like it's yours. All right? Bring them to church every week. Because every week we're going to talk on a topic and there'll be things to write in your journal. And if people who aren't here today come, we'll have journals for them next week. We'll just keep passing them out. Okay? You can fill in your prayer lists. You can use it as a reminder throughout the week of who to pray. You can use them to keep as records for what God has done in your life. Okay? Everybody got one? Okay, so open them up. This week I have three things for you to pray for you to pray on. First, choose a couple people from the church that you want to pray for. Doesn't matter who. Doesn't matter who. Perhaps someone you don't know well. Perhaps someone you struggle with. Just somebody. Write their names down and commit to pray for them this week. Now, don't tell them you're praying for them. Do not ask them for a prayer list. Don't go to them and say, hey, I'm going to pray for you this week. Give me the five things you need prayer for. No. Just pray for them. And it could be like a 10-second, Lord, bless so-and-so. Help me learn to love them more. Whatever. If you notice things about them, pray on those things. If the Lord gives you some insight, pray about that. Just take some time. Down, write down their names, commit to pray for them this week. That's one. Second, pick a challenge in your life. We all have them. I've yet to meet the person with no challenges in their life. Some of our challenges are great, some of them are not so great, but they're still challenges nonetheless. Pick a challenge in your life, something that maybe is causing you stress and anxiety. Jot it down and commit this week, I'm going to go to the Lord for this. Lord, give me strength, give me peace, give me wisdom. Move on my behalf over this situation. Got that? Okay. Finally, pray for the church. Pray that we preach the gospel, that God's kingdom comes, that we become everything God is calling us to become. Just say a prayer for the church. Lord, fix the roof. No. That was weird. The roof is fine. It's new. Lord, just do your will in the church. Whatever. Any of those. This week, commit to that. Every morning when you get up, remember I said, if you pray 5 minutes, try to make it 10. If you don't pray, try for 5 minutes. Just if you pray 30 minutes, just add to it. Add this to those prayers. And then jot down anything the Lord does. If he gives you insight, if he gives you breakthrough, if you pray for that situation and that situation moves, jot it down. Write a thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Some people, and I'm one of them, pray better while writing. I can sit and kneel and pray out loud, and but when I sit down with a piece of paper and pen and I write my prayer to God like a letter, oh Lord, that just does something within me. Maybe that's you. Write a prayer. And if it's not, that's cool. Remember what I said? We're all unique, we're all different. Sometimes that's irritating, but that's God's plan and his joy. Amen? Amen. So we dismiss this morning as I pray. I do want to say we still want to do ministry time today. So if you need prayer for something specifically, if you're dealing with an illness issue, and we've had a lot of that over the last 2 months or so, if you're dealing with something that you would like prayer for, if you want prayer to try to figure out how to pray, like, look, I just need prayer to learn how to pray, just, then feel free. Come up or grab someone. We'd love to pray for you before you leave. Let me pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for this journey that we are upon as a church. This 40 days of prayer and fasting. Now, Lord, as I said earlier, Father, we desire more of you. Lord, it feels like we're stuck. Get us unstuck. Lord, increase the level of love that we have for one another. Lord, pour your love into this church. And Lord, bring us to a place of unity. Just as you are one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, allow us to be one as well. Lord, give us strength to overcome. Give us peace in times of stress and anxiety. And Lord, let the joy of the Lord just pour out upon this place. Father, I pray for wisdom for myself and for each one of us, Lord. Lord, make us wise sages in you. And Lord, finally, let your Spirit just fill this church. Come and move among us. Lord, transform us into the church of your dreams. We thank you, Lord. If you need prayer, please come forward or just grab someone and ask for prayer. Otherwise, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you in the wilderness. May he protect you in the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders that he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Use the journals this week. Jot down what he's doing. If he does something, let us know. I'm going to ask every week, what did God do this week? Share some stories. Amen? Amen.